Good morning. You know, it's been a while since I've been up here in front of the church, and it's great to see you. If you're visiting, thank you so much for coming to worship with us this morning. You know, I have to say, this has been awesome. You know, it was in this very room where I proposed to Sari. 1992. This very room. Brings back a lot of memories. And the fact that the ring was too small. She got the ring. Before I jump into the lesson, I want to say thank you to a lot of people that's made this happen each and every week. Our AV team, the ushers, the teachers, the song leaders, the counters, everyone involved in the setup. Because every week, they're not just here, but they're here way before most of us are here. And it just takes a sacrifice to do that. But I also want to thank the brothers that preached the word, that did communion. It's been very inspiring. You've done a fabulous job. Larnie has done a fabulous job with the announcements each and every week. And it's just great to be a part of the worship service in that way and see all of these parts coming together. You know, yesterday, Fiorella moved from Newark to West Orange. And that's a whole other story that we'll tell at another time. But what was so beautiful about it was there was about 15 brothers that helped and some sisters. And we created this assembly line. And so people was taking stuff out of the truck and the sofas would come on up. And it took about, you know, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. And I thought, there may be a market for this type of business here. But it was beautiful to see what happens when people come together and they work together. Big things happen when we work together. But that's the kingdom. That's our church. And it's because of one man that that's all possible. And that's Jesus. Can I share some good news with you? You know, we've not been all together for, you know, a while. And so before I jump into the lesson, I want to share some good news. So the title of the message this morning is Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. But back in June when school was about to end, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, came to Newark and visited St. Philip's Academy. Come on, we got some teachers in here. That's right. Well, what they did is they chose a student to be a part of this, you know, picture. And guess who they chose? Peter Barkley got a picture with the First Lady because why did they choose Peter? Well, Peter had great knowledge. Ecosystem and the understanding of that, but it also they also chose him because of his character as a student. That was so encouraging. You know who that is? Look at Olivia Burnett. Olivia Burnett was on Chopped Junior on the Food Network this past summer, and if you go to the website, because I was going to accidentally, illegally download it so you could see the video, but I was told not to. Thank you, friends. But I was so fired up. She has a talent for cooking. She got an opportunity, and they chose her, and she had a great experience on Chopped Junior. You know, there's been some engagements this year. You know, Josh and Amanda are getting married in December. And Johnny and Maisha are getting married next year, I believe March. Johnny would like February. But I'm not going to push it. But love is in the air. And it's great to see God doing all that He does in His church. In August, Ronald and Corinne were married and became one. Where are they here? They still on their honeymoon. There she is. There she is. All right. Where's your hubby? Oh, he's in the back. Okay, all right. I thought we had to talk already. Amen. Amen, Ron. But that was a beautiful wedding. Great to be a part of that. And look at that. Olivia Sanchez was born. To Pam and Vince. You know, if you didn't know, our newest steady couple. Where's he at? There they are. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That was sweet. Love is in the air, man. You got to get a taste. And you know, the one that's near and dear to my heart right there. This was preteen young teen camp. 238 fifth to eighth graders. And that marked the 20th year of preteen young teen camp here in the New York City Church. And that was Sari's and my 10th year directing the camp, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, the theme of this year's camp was the race. And, you know, we picked that theme because we're in that, you know, Olympic atmosphere. And I decided this morning that we're going to talk about the race. The race. And it's really interesting because you can come in here and be inspired and encouraged. But you know, when you walk out of these doors, you're walking into the real world. At this time, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's continue. God in heaven, we thank you so much for just who you are, for what you're doing. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for all of the things that are going on here in the New Jersey region. Thank you for just the hearts. And Father, I pray as we look at your word this morning that we'll think about the race that you have marked out for us. Please, God, we pray that you fill us with your spirit, that you help us with wherever we are in our faith or in our walk, that we will look to you, that we would see what you want us to see. We love you, God. We pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. With all the good that's going on, our world still remains dark. We continue to see racial discrimination, police shootings, and yes, even cops being shot. I was so heartbroken to read about the young man who just became a police officer in Jersey City. Lost his life after 7 months on the job. A deranged man came into the Walmart right there on the corner of Community Park. Told the guy, "I'm getting ready to be famous." Went back outside. They called the cops to the Walmart, and the guy waited, came around, know, we've faced several deaths this year in our fellowship. We're going to be doing some things to meet that need in the fall. And with death comes pain, comes suffering, sadness of heart, even sometimes depression. And if that were not enough, we're headed into an election in November that I'm quite concerned about. We have financial pressures. Some of us are wondering, how am I paying for college? Some of us are concerned about, will I ever get out from underneath this debt? We face social pressures. The pressure to compromise and fit in and just be like everybody else. We face the spiritual pressures that come with life of trying to follow Christ. Do God's will? Do what I want to do. Serve others or serve myself. Share my faith or keep it to myself. Trust in God with all my heart or trust in me, in what I think, what I see. We have decisions that we have to make constantly. But you know what? It's all a part of the race that we're in. I want us to read together Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Notice, marked out for us. We all don't have the same race. Your circumstances may be different than somebody else's circumstances. But it is your race that's been specifically designed for you. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, this book of Hebrews was written to an audience of Hebrew Christians who had come out of Judaism. And some of these Christians were being ostracized by their families. Maybe perhaps some Gentiles. Those are non-Jews. They seem to lack confidence in the gospel. They seem to lack confidence in who Jesus was. And they were in danger of going back into the patterns and the ways of their former lives. It was also addressing Hebrew non-Christians who had heard about Jesus and who are intellectually convinced, yes, he was real. He lived. But they weren't ready to make him Lord of their lives. They weren't ready to make that commitment to follow him. And then you had that group of non-believers who weren't convinced about Jesus. You know, some of us are in a similar situation today.
We kind of know about Jesus. We've heard stories. We've seen pictures. But we're really not sure, who is this guy? It's not personal. He hasn't really affected our lives, and we're kind of on the fence. Because you know what? We realize something about life. This is real. One day, it's going to end. And one day, I'm going to stand before the Almighty God. And I want to know that I'm okay. And that I'm right with God. And that kind of nags at us. But, you know, we got life and we got stuff. And we really, you know, we're just not sure. Because we've seen a whole lot of hypocrisy in our lives. And we conclude, hey, well, you know what? I'm just going to be the best person that I can be. And think, hey, you know, I hope that gets me in. Interesting, church, that the Christian life is compared to a race. You know, it's funny, because in a race, where you look is extremely important. I love actually watching races. My kids run, you know, track. And it's interesting. Some of the kids, you know, they're in the race and they're going, and then they turn around and they're looking to see who's running with me. Or you got the one kid and mom's in the crowd, go Johnny! And he's like, hey mom! And he's looking up in the crowd. And, you know, sometimes we're running our race, but we're looking in the wrong direction. We got to stay focused on where we're going. We can't look around. We can't look down. We can't be concerned about who's thinking about what I'm wearing and how my stride looks. And we're all sometimes preoccupied with the wrong thing. And it prevents us from running this race. So, what's the solution, Russ? Well, if I can get this up, clicking here. Point number one. I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. Point number one. Your eyes on Jesus. In this race, I have to fix my eyes on Jesus. What? Russ, I don't know who Jesus is. Amen, you're in the right place. Because that's what we're talking about this morning. Who is Jesus? You know, in this verse here, it gives us a little description. He says here, our eyes on Jesus. In verse 2, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know, this word pioneer, or in another translation it says the author, right? That means Jesus started the whole thing. And I don't just mean in Christianity. Jesus was there before Abraham was there. Jesus was there before Moses was there. Jesus was there before all of the great, amazing people of faith. He was there in the beginning. And our faith, our attention, our focus has to be on Him. You know, if you get nothing out of this message today, get the fact that if I keep my focus on Jesus, I don't get distracted by the things around me or the people around me. I don't get distracted because this person said something that I didn't like. I don't get distracted because, well, I feel like you should have did this differently. I don't get distracted because I see somebody else's sin and maybe I address it and they're not ready to hear it. And then I come to a conclusion, see, that's why you don't do this. That's why you don't go to church. That's why you don't get help with your personal life. That's why you don't ultimately obey God. No. My example is Jesus. And the more you and I focus and fix our eyes on him, then everything else seems to not be as important. Because what I'm most concerned about is that I'm following him. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Look at what it says about him. Why follow Jesus? Well, I got a couple of really good reasons. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what it says about him. It says in verse 10, he says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, who and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Jesus is the author of our salvation. It is through him. I love what Charles said today. It was through what he did that you and I have salvation. If he didn't do what he did, there'd be no salvation. There'd be no hope. There'd be no reason for us to even be here. But because of what he did, we get to have a relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 4. Charles took all my scriptures this morning, but that's all right. Amen, brother. I'm going to use it again. You know, I heard reinforcement helps the mind. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. Look at what he says about Jesus. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Okay. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus did not sin. To me, that is just unbelievable. Every temptation that you and I face, he faced it, went through it, and remained sinless. Now, if anybody thinks that they can do that, we could talk later on. But he did it. He is our chief example. So when we're going through something, do you go to Jesus to find out, how do I get through this? Or do you rely more on what people think? Or do you rely on trying to do something through self-help books or something else? He is our chief example. And he's provided a way for us. It says something else about him. It says that he's the perfecter of faith. What is the perfecter of faith? Well, it means one who carries it through to completion. In other words, Jesus is a finisher. You know, there's some great basketball players. They say, man, he's a great finisher. Well, what does that mean? That means when he gets the basketball, he goes to the basket, he's either getting fouled and making the bucket, or he's making the bucket. Well, Jesus not only made the bucket, he took it and slammed it upside down. Every time. He finished it. You know, you may suffer a little bit from this. I got things around my house that are incomplete. You got stuff that you bought and you planned on using it. You did it one or two, three times, and then there it is sitting on that counter with clothes hanging on it. Because you started using it, and then you stopped. Or you started building something, you started fixing something, and it's still being fixed. You know, some of us, I mean, again, this for me, I hate that. I honestly hate it. I have come to loathe not finishing. So if I'm doing something, you know what?
he's in 100%. And it's going to get done. Now, it may take a while, but it's going to get done.
Jesus completed. And he was on that cross. And he said to his Father, "It is finished." You know what that did? Charles said it. He basically raised up his arm. Because not only did he defeat Satan, he broke the power of sin in the lives of those who would follow him. That we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to wonder about a relationship with God, because Jesus is now, he finished it. And so now you and I can have access to a holy, righteous God. Now you and I can engage and call him Father, Daddy, Papa, or Papa in our house. Jesus set the pace and he finished the race. And that's why we need to fix our eyes on him. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you looking at? What are your eyes fixed on? Because whatever your eyes are fixed on, that's what you're going to focus on. And when you focus on something other than Jesus, it doesn't end well. And maybe that's part of what needs to be reshifted in your focus. Is I got to get my mind focused back on Jesus. Well, guess what? That's a simple thing to do. You got to open your Bible. And I got to just start reading again about him. Or maybe you got to, you know, hey, help me. I have gotten dull in my relationship with God. I need to get re-inspired again. I need to get something fresh. I need to get something just more understandable. I need something new to get my mind and my heart excited about focusing and fixing my mind and heart on Jesus. If that's where you're at, just, hey, I need some help. He's the example to follow. See, when we keep our focus on Jesus, what happens is that we finish the race. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Are you with me, church? All right. Hebrews 12. And I love this part of the passage. What he says, Hebrews 12, and verse 3, verse 2, actually. He says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." So my second point is, finish your race. Finish your race. He says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus finished his race. Now, what's really interesting about this is that it says the joy set before him. So, the Bible kind of gives us kind of some opposites here. You don't think about the cross and joy. The cross meant death, crucifixion, hands being and wrists being nailed to a wood, feet being nailed to wood, a back that was flogged. But then it says that Jesus, there was joy, for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now, bear with me for a minute. When you think about the priests and what they did, they interceded for the people. The way that people got their sins forgiven is they went to the priests. They made sacrifices based on the things that was required of them. So I sin, so I got to give my, here's my cow. I put my hand on the cow, kill a cow while my hand's on it, and it's like, oh, I watched the cow die, and my sins were forgiven. When Jesus came along, he made one sacrifice, and that was himself. And then the other idea, he says, after Jesus, you know, had the joy before him, it says he sat down. Well, priests back in those days did not sit down because people were sending it up. And every day, every week, somebody was coming on in to get their sins forgiven. So priests didn't sit down. So you can imagine Jesus dying on the cross, finishing the work, and then he sat down because it was finished. It was complete. There's no more need to keep coming back and forth. That's why you and I on this side of the cross should be so grateful because of what he did. It's amazing. But you know, Jesus did it, but he did it for a reason. Turn to John chapter 17. John 17. And I know we're flipping around and looking at scriptures, but it's important that we kind of connect all of this together. Because it's inspiring when you start realizing, well, how can you be joyful going to the cross? Well, look at what he says in his prayer. John 17, verse 4. I glorify thee, and this is the ASV version, Jesus. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know the thing that Jesus ran for? The thing that motivated him? Glorifying God. That's what he was running for. That's what he was after. He wanted God to be glorified. Well, how's God going to be glorified? Well, by him dying on the cross. And by him living to see what God wanted him to do. So in other words, when Jesus was here, perfectly exhibited what God wanted him to exhibit. I want you to show people who I am. And Jesus perfectly did whatever God's will was in his life. And he obeyed him. And it was so perfect. God said, it's done. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we do things for the wrong reasons. And glorifying God is not what is in our minds. Sometimes we want the glory, right? We want to know, we want people to know what we did. Yeah, 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 and I did that. You ever do that one? Yeah, 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 and that was my idea. About. Jesus wasn't trying to build himself. He's like, it's not about me. It's about God. It's all about God. But unfortunately, that's us. We want the credit. We want the praise. We want people to know how awesome we are and what we did. And that's, you know, in and of itself, it's great. It's great to be appreciated. It's great to be recognized. But how much greater is it to give God the glory? To know I'm doing what I'm doing for him and him alone. And if nobody else recognizes it, if nobody else says a word, I did Him. See, I don't know about you, but that's how Jesus lived. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to just clear out my mind and clear out people. So all I want to do is glorify Him with what I say, with what I do. Because I know that's going to make Him happy and proud. You know, we can't get caught up in doing things so that people can see us. Or people can, you know, oh yeah, he did that special thing and he served this way and that way. That's only a momentary pleasure that fades off. The worst part is that we don't get satisfied. And we want to hear it again and again and again. Because that's just how we are. You know, one of the ways that we can be, in a weird way, satisfied is when we give away what God's given to us. You know, Paul said back in 1 Thessalonians, what is my crown and joy? He said, it's the people. It's the people. That's my crown and joy. That's the thing that I want to be known. Is God, I spread your word and people responded and I'm so proud. We were in St. Louis and walking down the street, going to a class, and this car comes up to the side. Russ. Now, I'm in St. Louis. I don't know anybody from St. Louis. But there were many disciples there. Man, so I turn around, and there is Mike Izawako. Mike was in our campus ministry in 96. And Sari and I led the church in New Jersey City. Mike was one of those guys that you just thought, I hope he makes it. Mike was out there. He just, amen. I hadn't seen Mike since 1997. I haven't seen him. Didn't know what. And when he turned that window, he rolled that window down, he said, hey, it's me. And then we, you know, at the conference, we ran into each other. And I seen Mike with his lovely wife and his three kids. That just warmed my heart. Because my friend is still faithful. My friend is still running his race. And now he's got little people that's watching him run his race. He's still running his race. That gives me no better joy. That's it right there, man. What about you? Who's that person that you look at and you're just, so fired up. I'm so excited. He's still running. Yeah, he fell down, but he got right back up. The joy set before him. See, our joy can be right now, here on earth. The joy of seeing souls won to Jesus. But more than that, it's what's to come. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. We're going to wrap this up because I'm going a little too long here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Two scriptures. Paul here is at the end of his life. I'm not going to read that ASV version. That was a little weird. I didn't even know what it was. 2 Timothy 4. I know you guys appreciate that. Verse 8, look at what it says. Listen to Paul. He says, now, and this is at the end of his life, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed forward to that crown. Now, that's a hokey looking crown right there. But I can imagine. You get in heaven, man, you get that crown. But then what do you do with that crown? Just walk around. Yeah, look at me, man. I don't think so. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. I'll show you what I'm going to do with my crown. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. Revelation 4, verse 10. Let's read this together. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being. Isn't a beautiful picture of the future? You get to heaven, you got your crown, and you're all smiling. And then there, you know, there, and you see Lewis over there, and the elder, and there's Cedric, and they got their crown. And then we take our crowns off. There's where our God is. There's who we love. There's who we're thankful for. It ain't about the crown. It's about we know where it all came from. We know why we finished the race and made it. It's because of Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In church, let's all finish our race and help one another finish their race. To God be the glory. Amen.